Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates. We're reporting live from Cantalomba. Welcome, Teresa.
Hello, folks out there. How are you?
Tree Davy.
Hi, everyone.
And Scott.
Hello.
There are literally, what, dozens, hundreds more folks who could be on this recording with us, but we know we have 10 minutes, so we're practicing compassionate self-discipline, and we're just having the four of us. But we were just talking at the end of our day here today about how every single day we're out here, we see so much, we learn so much, and that really describing things that happen in any given day illustrate the power of the project and the miracle that's happening here all the time. So we're just going to pass the recorder around and have folks talk about something that stood out for them today in the project. So who'd like to begin? Scott?
So one of the things that I keep noticing is as we come together and talk about, okay, where are we putting our energy? Where are we putting our resources? Mm-hmm. Well, we're looking at, well, what currently is working and what's not working? And the thing that stands out is that it takes everyone's experience and perspective to answer those questions. Mm-hmm. So it really takes the whole community to have the picture of the whole community. Mm-hmm. And it's just been fun to watch people ask questions, mm-hmm. and to really listen to one another, mm-hmm. and to feel free to express themselves and come up with ideas and be honest also about maybe things that aren't working, or if someone doesn't know something, oh, mm-hmm. I don't know that. Mm-hmm. Well, how would we find that out? Oh, how about we ask? She would really know, mm-hmm. because she works with the, mm-hmm. and just the working together as a whole, mm-hmm. To come up with the best focus and place, mm-hmm. to put our energies for these girls and these boys who are coming to school every day to learn and have a community and a family that supports them. I don't know. It's just been really, it's been really amazing process to be a part of.
Yeah. It's so magical, isn't it? I'm just thinking as you're talking, Scott, that one of the things that happened today was, again, once you see it, it's so obvious, but you don't see it until we're all sitting in a room together. I don't know, there were, what, 10 of us, 8 of us, something like that. And just all seeing what we're seeing, and suddenly we realize, oh, here's what we need to do in our extra lessons. We need to pull out the kids who really essentially aren't reading yet and put them in a special situation where they can actually learn to read. And, you know, we won't go into all the detail right now, but because of a couple of breakthroughs over the last couple of days, we actually have the people who can do that, uh-huh. who can do uh-huh. the reading. And it's so much fun and such a miracle how all those factors come together, yeah. like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To speak to the reading part, you know, this is my fourth trip. I've been so privileged enough to come and to see the difference in the girls. Mm-hmm. I remember my first trip, it was, you know, pulling teeth to even gum to get them to say hello to you. And the second trip, they were a little bit more familiar. Last year, I remember going, oh my gosh, they're coming up. They're saying hi. They're talking. This trip, it's, hi, Sri Devi, come read this book with me. And it was wonderful. My first day here yesterday, Margaret came and got me. I want to read a book. 7 girls surrounded me, and we all read a book out loud together. We had, in fact, read 4 books. And then today, another young girl, Joyce, with this wonderful idea that started this past Saturday about everyone finding a word of the day that it's a word you don't know. Mm-hmm. And we're all asking each other, what's your word of the day? And for us here, we have to learn a Bembo word. And for the team here and the kids who are part of the program here, they have to learn an English word. And one of the young girls, Joyce, pulled me aside today, and she had one of Mama Sherry's books, and she had gone through so much of the book and underlined word after word after word, and it was so much fun to sit with her today. And she's like, what's that word? And it would be a word like conscious. Mm-hmm. What's that word? It's the word projection. And to just be able to talk about these words and what they mean, mm-hmm. and to see how lit up she was, yeah. in her and the other two young women who were with her, Angela and Onesta, was just really exciting to see this evolution in these girls, mm. from where I experienced them 4 years ago into what I'm experiencing of them now.
I really, it's not like I don't know the stories you're saying, Sri Devi, but I have goosebumps as you're telling them. And one of the things I love about that word of the day idea is that it's exactly what Scott was talking about. It just came out of nowhere. You know, I don't even know who thought it up, all right? It didn't even feel like it got thought up. It just, you know, it just was suddenly there. And the thing that's so fun about it is it's so simple, and it's so clearly going to build a culture of language and literacy on the property, and that's what we need. You know, they're up against so much going to their government schools. They've got 60 kids in their classroom, 70 kids in their classroom. So if we can give them that skill of literacy to take with them, it's so huge. So I'll just tell you, my Bemba word for the day is infula, which means rain.
And again, going back to what Jenna said, it's like learning every day new things. It dawned to me this year when we had the parents meeting last year, mm-hmm. where the girls in the parents of the girls in the program, they were invited to come here at the property so that we have a meeting. Only a few mothers showed up. But when I called the meeting this year again, all the mothers showed up. And I asked myself, why? Why did they show up? And most of the mothers, when explaining one by one, when I talked to them, they said they have seen this difference in the girls. The girls are different in behavior, in their appearance, even in their academic way of life, which is a good sign that we are on the right track right now. With these 37 girls, the pilot project that we have started, it has been a success here at Living Compassion in Cantalomba.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know we all agree, but what the team is doing here to make that a success is just unbelievable. In fact, Teresa and I were talking today about, you know, how many NGOs are around and how many try to make a go of it. And it's challenging, you know, it's challenging for so many reasons, but we were laughing. And she was saying some people will come around and they'll say, well, now how many kids do you feed here? And she'll say, 1,000. And they say, what? How can you feed 1,000 kids here? She goes, come on over here and let me show you the pots of Enshima. And they just cannot believe those huge pots of Enshima and how a person could possibly stir those huge pots of Enshima. Mm-hmm. So it's heroic what's going on here. We have just a couple more minutes if anyone had anything else to add that you saw as we were going around. Nope. Mm. So I would just say a big thank you. I mean, as we said, to the whole team in Cantalomba, it's unbelievable, Teresa, what you and the whole team are doing. And I know that everyone in the United States who's listening, and, you know, folks actually listen to this from all over the world, join me in giving their thanks to the team, because you guys are an amazing, amazing team here.
Well, thank you so much, everyone out there. I know we are an amazing team, but without you, there wouldn't be a Living Compassion here in Cantalomba. I salute you all.
Yeah, well, we can say the same thing, can't we? Without you, there wouldn't be a Living Compassion team. And as always, thank you to our visitors, because, you know, my projection is that everyone who comes here, their life is profoundly changed and impacted, and certainly the project is impacted by everyone who joins us. So thank you to all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Including everyone back home in the U.S. and, as I said before, around the world, tuning in, listening, and being part of this amazing Sangha that gets to participate in this amazing project. Big gratitude for everyone, and I know we all share in the gratitude for getting to participate with life in such an heart-opening and inspiring way. So, Michael, with that, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry for, no doubt, another fabulous show. Good night.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Scott, and thank you, Sri Devi, and thank you, Teresa. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Was that astounding?
Yes. Yeah, it was astounding.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, they are in Zambia. Right? And it's like, you know, if Scott started talking about it, it's just like he's at the monastery. It's,
yes.
It is extraordinary how technology makes so much possible for us.
Yes, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
We have to get you there one day, Michael.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it and bring my kids.
I mean, you love that project as much as anybody on this planet. And we just got to get you there.
Yes.
We make that a priority.
Yes. Yeah. And every time I read a blog or hear the good news like that, I just think it's such a perfect example of practice in action, especially because it's not named. We don't proselytize. We don't go over there and convert. We just are practice, and the results are magical.
Yes. Yeah, it's really true. Yeah. Nobody has to. What is it? I know what you're pointing at. That it's so important. There must be language for what I'm seeing right now, although it's not coming to me. But it's like all of it is just given to all of us. You know, we don't have to earn anything, or we don't have to become anything, do anything. As you say, you know, we're not there to convert people. We don't proselytize. We don't need them to be anything other than who and what they are, and what we bring to them is who and what we are, and we're just all, just all sharing what it is that we have to bring to life.
Yes, and because of practice, you know, what we bring is really helpful and kind and useful and practical, and it seems, especially in that part of the world, that's what's needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's here.
Yes.
Goodness
yes.
knows
yes.
we're seeing the same things here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the you know, in terms of that reciprocal relationship that we have, what I always experience with that project is for myself and my own practice. You know, when they're talking about stirring that in Shima, I'm sure you remember that, you know, that time when we were there and I was trying to try to stir that pot of in Shima. And I was pretty young and fit at that point, right? And it's like, like, take a shovel, put it down in a big vat of concrete and start stirring. You know, it's just, I don't see how, and little tiny women. Right? And they're just strong as bulls and doing this extraordinary work under circumstances. You know, I mean, I complain when the internet goes out, right? So it's just that perspective of, you know, my life is so easy. And not in a self-hating, you have nothing to complain about. It's just you really don't have anything to complain about. And that they bring so much willingness and integrity and good-heartedness and generosity to what they're doing there under circumstances that most of us would not be able to tolerate for 10 minutes.
So, yes.
Yeah, they inspire me in that way of just showing up to bring the very best that you've got to every moment of life, regardless of circumstances. They are teachers of that.
Yes. Yes. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really
beautiful
is.
Thing. Beautiful thing. And I have announcements here if we want to jump into that now.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Recording and listening is a simple and powerful tool that assists us to clarify the life we want, focus the attention, and take steps to realize that life. Two new 6-week group training sessions in this powerful practice tool start March 7th and March 8th. And in the early days of our awareness practice, Sangha gathered for a deeply fulfilling time of caring for our spiritual home. The Seasons of Joy Spring Retreat, March 21 through 26, offers that same joyous experience of working shoulder to shoulder with the guide in stewardship of the monastery and engagement with the sacred in everyday tasks. Guidance, workshops, yoga, and delicious food are all part of this retreat.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, old timers talk about this all the time. We look back with the, you know, we get that look on our faces that old timers get, you know, with back in the day and how it was and the fun that we had, how much fun it was to be there at the monastery creating it, you know, building it and taking care of it. Now we have a chance. We're going to really revisit those good old days and have some of those retreats again so that the monastery feels loved and cared for.
Yes.
And so do we.
And I Yes. And I can still remember the projects that I worked on, you know, physically at the monastery.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I go back and see how they're still doing. And it's very,
yes.
It gets me involved in a way that's different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know that you're a part of it. You know,
yeah.
It belongs to you and you belong to it. And that's what we want with our spiritual home.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Okay, the Your Practice Retreat, April 8 through 15, is a chance to step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The retreat features individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week. This retreat is a prerequisite for first-time visiting monks.
Mm-hmm.
And for a not-to-miss opportunity to do the courageous work of ending self-hate, sign up now for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, April 26th through May 3rd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Last
but not least, for those of us following the work in Africa, a new blog has been posted to the website.
See all those beautiful faces right
it.
There? I bet you have.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Are you ready? Shall we do it?
I'm ready. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my God, this is so lucky that I got on. It's Isotta.
How are you doing?
Fine. Oh, my God, I can't believe my luck, because I you remember that I was telling some time ago that I was in my first relationship ever, thanks to practice.
Yes.
An hour ago, my first relationship ever ended, thanks to practice.
Oh.
And I was gonna be like, oh, woo, woo, cry. And then I thought, no, the radio show is on. Who do I wanna be? Somebody who cries or somebody who listens to the radio show and call in? And here I am.
Good. That is definitely who we want to be, isn't it?
Exactly. And I have a specific question about it, instead of telling you all the story. The thing that I applied in this situation is, if somebody tells you something that conditioning would say and not the mentor, you know, there is not a good reason to have them in your life, unless you have to, right?
Right. Yes. So if I'm with you, if you start hearing coming from somebody else in your life what you would hear in conditioned mind, and possibly even a self-hating mind, then there's really no reason to stick with that if you don't need to.
Exactly. That was the thing that guided me, even if it hurts horribly. But I think it's a healthy thing, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I mean, there are so many ways to go with this, right? And what we have to do is look inside and be still with what's going on, right? And I know you're doing all of this. You get out the recorder and you have some conversations with the mentor, and you look and you look and you look, and you get to, you know, what feels right to me in my heart is to do X, whatever that is. And so you do that, and you see what happens. Right?
Yes, this is how it went, yeah. And after that,
so
this part is fantastic, it's super clear. Do you have any advice about how to keep center, you know, and not to go crazy now after all is done? You know, like, not to...
Right.
The good stuff, right?
Well, you know, there are just so many aspects of something like this. So it sounds like you knew that it was right for you to not be in the relationship any longer. Yeah?
Exactly, exactly.
But that doesn't mean that you're not going to grieve the loss of the relationship, that there's not disappointment and sadness, right? Because anytime something ends, so there you are. You have a relationship, and when we start a relationship, I'll just project here, okay? We start a relationship and we have great hopes for that relationship, right? It's not just right now, but we tend to see a future for ourselves in that relationship. Yeah? And so when it ends, that future ends too. Right?
Of course.
So all the trips we might have gone on, and all the things that we would have done, and the home that we might have created, and the family, and all of those things that kind of come with a relationship. And when that's not there any longer, there's a lot of emotion.
Exactly. And so I can stay with the emotion. I don't have to, like, ignore it, right?
No. The thing that we're striving for in practice, it seems to me, is to be with the authentic emotion without sliding over into an ego story.
Oh, exactly. This is what I want to do, exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So here, you know, a memory drops in, or you see something, or you hear a song or whatever it is, and there's a big rush of sadness or disappointment or grieving or however we want to talk about that, and or maybe something like anger, right, that it didn't work, and, you know, all of those kinds of other emotions that we can get into when we feel sad or there's loss or that sort of thing, and it just whooshes through you. And you experience it, you feel that, you recognize it and acknowledge it. But when it slides over into, oh no, now you're never ever going to be happy again. This was your one chance to be happy and it didn't work. Or if you had been a different person, then it would have worked. Or why were you so stupid to believe that, you know,
any when it gets into any of that kind of thing, that's when we say, this is not about the relationship or the ending of the relationship. This is just conditioned mind taking advantage of an opportunity to cause suffering.
It's super clear. Yes.
And also I want to not fall for the blaming this person or as I don't want to blame myself because there is nothing to blame. I don't want to blame him, you know. Just this
That's
is
right.
life. And this
That's
right.
Is right. That's right. Uh-huh. If we can get to that place of everybody's doing the best they can do and this is what we've got. We really don't need to let conditioning make something wrong. Nobody has to be wrong. It's just this is what happened. This is how far we got. You can enjoy the good things. You can appreciate the blessings that the relationship brought to you, but it's not necessary to be angry or blame or hate or that sort of thing in order to let something go.
Yes. I am seeing that. And, you know, something that was a super practice success that I could really feel the mentor telling me, like, are you sure this is what you want to go for? Are you sure you feel loved? But not in a bad way, not like, you know, like I really felt guided. So I also trusted that this, and the mentor was never telling me, this guy is a bleep or anything like that, no? It was just telling me, honey, do you feel good, you know, like this?
Are you happy? Are you enjoying yourself? Does this feel like it's taking care of you or not?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And also, I had all these recordings, and accidentally I listened to a recording of 7 months ago when I was complaining about the same things I was complaining one day ago, and I was like, no, come on. Ridiculous, you know. So it was really helpful to have practice in this, and I'm sure it will continue to be in the next.
Yeah. That you make a good argument for keeping those recordings and going back and listening to the old ones periodically, right? Because if I'm having the same experience now that I was having 7 months ago, there might be a message for me here. Right, there might be something for me to pay attention to.
And you know how it happened? It was by mistake. I thought I was listening to yesterday, to a recording that I made like an hour before, and my words sounded different. And so I double checked, and it was much older, you know.
And that's one of those moments where you feel really taken care of, isn't it? Like there's a mistake that brings something to your life that is so helpful that we can say, ooh, that really wasn't a mistake. That was a blessing.
Exactly. And the first reaction was conditioning, saying, oh, my God, you don't learn anything. But thank God, since I was recording conditioning, the mentor heard that, and well, it was all good.
Yeah. And so the thing that's so wonderful is how present you are to see those things, right? So that you're watching yourself, you hear it, you see conditioning come in with what it comes in with. You're there for the mentoring response to that. This is excellent for practice, isn't it?
Oh, yes, I'm so thankful. But I'm also thankful how much support we have, because now that this happened, I had the show. When the thing of the recording happened, I had a group coaching, like, starting 10 minutes afterwards, you know? So even if I wanted to get lost, I couldn't, because there were so many things that brought me to presence, you know. Oh,
yes,
God,
that bring
so
you
thankful.
Back here. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
Oh, I'm so blessed. I'm so lucky that you, also that I was online. Oh, it's such a blessing. I'm so thankful. You have an idea. Thank you so much.
You take care of yourself, okay?
I will. Thank you a lot.
All right. Thank you, Isota.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isota. Great to hear from her. And We have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Art in Maryland.
Well, hello,
hey,
Art.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. I'm practicing a lot. I'm practicing a lot. I haven't been doing much with Sangha except for listening to a lot of archives. And I just got back from Capitol Hill. I just walked around it and took a picture from each direction on the compass rose. So I walked from the south and took a picture. It's pretty with the lights. And then to the west, then the north. And then the east, and then it was raining, and I had an umbrella, and then I drove home, and it really helped me with an awareness of just how interesting life is, because nobody was down there, you know, except for you know, the people that would be to make sure that things, you know, don't get out of hand, and because it was raining, so, and I was early. So I've been working with the mentor a lot about all of that, and I'm coming to a level of equanimity, I think.
All of that, help me out with what that is, Art.
Okay, that is some anger and some self-righteousness, and that's really a big story about, well, I'm not enough, and so how could I be able to experience what's going on when I'm not even, you know, I'm not even a player in the game, that I'm just not. You know, I'm not equal to a life like all of these other people are. You know, all the people that are making decisions for the country or demonstrating or in favor of the new administration here. And so I guess that's what that's about. It's just the stories in my head, and I've just been able to drop the stories and drop back into presence consistently and observing the whole thing.
Uh-huh. And so is part of that a clarity about what you want for your life, what you choose for your life?
Yes. Part of it is a clarity that it was really helpful. I was listening to a recent archive. In fact, I think it was just about a month ago, and it talked about Jen said something about I can be active. I can choose to take action or inaction. The challenge is to be present while I'm doing that.
Yes, because being in a conversation about whatever in the head can feel like you're doing something.
Yep.
And to realize, well, actually, we're not. And so whether it's a, you know, a conversation about what's wrong with them, what's right with them, what's wrong with you, what's right with you, whatever it is, it's never going to go anywhere.
Right.
But what we do have available to us is to make a conscious choice about what we choose for our lives and then keep our attention focused there and let that inform us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
that's
if
fun.
You,
yeah.
If you want to, say, for instance, live in unconditional love, then you can live in unconditional love. You can keep your attention on unconditional love and let that unconditional love guide you in whatever contribution you want to make as the expression of life, the unique expression of life that you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's beautiful. And so it brings me back to the heart. And it brings me back to, like, the person. There's a really young person that just gets neglected, and it really does.
There are a lot of really
right
young
back.
Persons. There are a lot of really young persons being neglected.
There are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which, you know, I make that connection because that's I think a kind of an important place for us. So if you are aware of what you need, then the thing that you can do is know that that's what everyone needs.
Oh.
And that you coming from the presence that embraces all that you need into the unconditional, that's what we can offer. See? Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so if I bring it into the unconditional, then, well, there are no conditions to being met, just everything's available.
That's right. That's right. Which is not at all a passive place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Yep. And conditioned mind is going to try to, it's just going to be chasing. I remember something way back. It's going to be riding along with a megaphone beside me. And I could just drop that conversation.
Exactly. Which is what we're going for all the time, isn't it? Just drop all the conversations.
Yeah.
Because in that, now we are available. Right?
Yeah.
We are available to be guided by life.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Wow, that's so great. Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you. And I'll sign off. But it's fun to be with Sangha again.
Yeah, good. Well, I think I can make the statement, we're always here. So you're welcome anytime.
All
thank
right.
You, Art.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Sherry. See you.
Take
care. Bye-bye,
good
Michael.
Night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Art. Sherry, I loved that connection you drew between once I know what I need, then I can be aware of what everyone needs.
Yes. Yes. Because we are not separate, are we? We're not even unique.
Right?
You know, okay. In that sense of, well, or different. Yeah, well, I'm this way and I need this and this is important for me and this is what I I think I need to be loved unconditionally. Well, I'm just going to risk that everybody else needs that too. If there's somebody who doesn't, that's okay. You know, everybody has their own choice. But I'm just gonna come from that place to the best of my ability for all of us, right? And then whatever happens, I'm embraced in that. As many other people as want to, they're embraced in that. And, you know, even if they don't want to be embraced in that, they can be embraced in that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a great working hypothesis. You need one.
It is. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of low risk of
causing. Low risk, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, great. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaching program here, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Good. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Availing ourselves of all the support we can as we undertake Project Joy is both wise and kind. Zen Awareness Coaching is just such a support. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we practice with any life content to see how we are caused to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery through regular donations. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit livingcompassion.org. Click on Participate to find Zen Awareness Coaching. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, very good.
Very good. Next caller.
Oh, my gosh.
You are live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Yes. Who's this?
This is Rob.
Hey, Rob.
I just can't believe that I got connected. I'm just a little shocked, actually. So I have this hookup with my computer. I'm not on the phone. I'm, like, using my computer, and I wasn't sure if it was going to work. And I was like, oh, well, we'll see. I didn't think I'd get called on. So anyway. So, you know, I actually put myself in the queue because ever since I left the monastery, it's really ever since I got home, it's like everything was really great, and then I get home, and like I have this low-level depression going on. Like, I'm not motivated. I'm like, I keep jumping back in bed. And, you know, and I basically am like, yeah, I better dial in because, you know, because that usually helps.
Mm-hmm. So what does it seem like is going on?
Well, you know, normally, well, I don't know if there's a normal, but it's like, I know that it's like, there's nothing going on. Like, it's one thing that's good about it is I know that it doesn't have anything to do with the content. So it's mm-hmm. like, conditioning can't say, well, there's a content reason. It's like everything was completely fine. I walk in the door and it just like hits me. And you know, I keep thinking, well, you know, conditioning must be sending me messages, and I'm not necessarily hearing the messages. I just mm-hmm. feel it, the only message I hear is just sort of like, oh, you know.
Well, let me ask you kind of an obvious question, Rob. Is it that you just don't want to be there?
Well, I guess I would say, I guess maybe. Well, but I don't know where else I'd be.
Well,
I think maybe it is.
That's a different issue, isn't it? That's a different issue,
okay.
Right? So, yeah, and that's the kind of thing conditioning would do to us, right? Well, I don't think I want to be here. I'm not happy here. Well, where else would you be? As if the question, well, where else would you be, is a response to, I'm not happy here.
Yeah, and in fact, now that you say that, I realize what I hear is that I have to be here, that I'm living in my mother's house. My mother died. I'm living in her house. There's stuff to do. And I definitely hear, well, I have to be here. I have to take care of stuff. And besides, I don't know where else I'd go.
Yeah. Yes. And so when we sort those things out and don't let conditioning run them together for us, we have a much better chance of dealing with what's actually going on.
Yeah. I see what you're saying,
so,
although I'm not sure what the next step is.
Well, that's just, now see, there's conditioned mind again. It wants to take us to a next step before we've actually really explored this step.
Okay.
So, you know, I actually don't want to be here. I'm not happy here. I'm depressed here. Okay. Now we can look at that. So what is it? When you look at that, what arises for you? Why are you not happy there? Now, because conditioning would say, well, you know, you should be happy wherever you are. If you were the right person, if you were a good Zen student, you could be happy anywhere. But again, that's not the conversation we're in, right? We're just looking at what's happening to this guy right now. Okay, so he's not happy there. Why? What occurs to you?
But as I keep thinking about when I was at the monastery, I just did what I was told to do. And it's funny, when I was there, I didn't always like that. But now that I'm here, I'm like, wow, that seems great. Just someone tell me something to do and I just do it. When I try to...
Give me a schedule. Give me a schedule, yeah. Right?
Right. And when I try to create, you know, do my own schedule, I mean, conditioning obviously is, you know, sabotaging me. The message I hear is there's so much to do here, and there's no reason why I can't just get it all done. And what's my problem?
Except I don't feel like it. Right, except I'm being beaten down, demoralized, and sabotaged every step of the way, and then told there's no reason for you not to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so this is good, right? It's not the here that's a problem, right? It's not being there in that house that's a problem. It's what's being done to you while you're there in that house that's the problem. Right?
Yeah.
It's being compared to the monastery where you had that schedule, people cook for you. Well, you cook for you too, but the food is cooked, right? Three meals a day are on the table. It's this time you do this, it's this time you do this. That you meditate regularly every day. There's time for exercise, right? So it's great. It's a complete life, right? And that complete life is certainly available where you are now.
Yes,
but
conditioning. That's one. What conditioning says is yes, it could be available to me right here. You know, what's your problem? That's what you know. It's definitely right here.
Yeah, and so there we get to see the duality, right? Well, you should be able to do that right here. And then you say, yes, I'm going to come up with a schedule, and I'm going to start cooking good meals for myself, and I'm going to make a work plan, and I'll spend this much time doing this, and it'll be just like when I was at the monastery. And the voices say, you can't do that. That's ridiculous. First of all, you don't feel like it. Why don't you take a nap? Right? Why don't you go back to bed and rest up and face this later when you're stronger? So it's that ping pong match, right? It's just slamming you back and forth from one side of the duality to the other. You can, you should. No, you can't. Yeah, you need to. No, it's not going to work. Right?
Yeah, and the only insert I would say to that whole cycle is...
Rob,
are you there?
Oh.
Hello?
Oh, there he is.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay, the only insert that you would add to that
was that I say to myself, I'm just going to do it. Don't think about it. And it then, you know, but it's obviously a conditioning move because it's like becomes impossible. It becomes
yes.
a monumental task suddenly.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So let me suggest this and see if this is familiar. When you were at the monastery, you had the two choices are, I like to say you could be happy or you could be unhappy, right? Which is kind of what it comes down to, because you've agreed to be there. You're going to be there. So conditioning's big thing is, well, you could leave. But you agreed to be there, so you're not going to leave. And so now you can either be happy, you can enjoy what you're doing, be present and enjoy what you're doing and pay attention and see how life works and conditioning and all of that, or you could be lost in an ego story in your head and be thoroughly miserable. Right?
Right. Yeah.
And so the same thing is true now where you are. Those are your two choices. And the piece that I would encourage you to add is that you can watch really closely how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is doing this to you. Get out of the, this is about being here or not being here, figuring out where else to be or being here, doing this stuff that needs to be done or not doing it. That's all content. Okay? And you can, just the way you did when you were at the monastery, you can get focused on the process. Okay, so you get up in the morning and you know that your intention is to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. But you're no longer trying to make yourself do that. Your whole focus is on how does conditioning stop me from doing what it is that I want to do? How does it suck the energy out of me? How does it keep me from being successful in my life? How is it doing that? Okay, so you said you don't actually hear, I think this is, you didn't say it this way, but there are not a lot of overt voices, right?
Correct.
But somehow it's there enough that it's depressing. It's demoralizing. And so to focus on that so that you can really see how that's happening. Now, the magic there is that you move out of either being the guy who's being tortured by this, no more identification with the conditioning, okay? Now your role is to be aware of the process that's happening.
Right. To be...
Can you sense? Yeah?
The sense I get is to be interested in just how, what's happening.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. So there was a particular content that you had while you were at the monastery, right? Code word shower.
Yeah.
And and you got really interested in what the heck, right?
Yes.
What is it about this? And in getting interested in that way and watching it, it arises again, okay, here it comes. And what's going on with me? Not in an intellectual, analytical way, but just watching. And as you stayed with it and watched, you were able to see how that process of conditioning and self-hate had you gripped. And in seeing that, you were able to step free of it.
Yeah, it got really fun. It got totally fun, but it got 90% fun. Yeah, it was really learned so much. It was great.
Yes, and the same thing will happen with this because you know how to do the process that is required to have the same experience that you're having there at in your mother's house that you had at the monastery. The content is different. The process is the same.
Oh, yeah, the process is the same. I can sit here and be miserable, or I can learn how to not be miserable by paying attention.
That's it. That's it.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
And you know how to do that. So it's not like I just said that and you go, oh, wow, okay, by knowing how to pay attention, I could. No. What I'm saying is you'll do exactly the same thing that you already done. That is enormous. You're going to repeat a process of paying attention and being in awareness that you've already been successful with in another circumstance.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is it's really very simple. It's so my experience at the monastery is when I would get, you know, I'd get identified and I realize I'm identified and I'm like, and I really would be like, I can sit here and suffer or I can see what's causing me to suffer so I could drop it. And that was, that's, you know, and that's basically with a little bit extra attention, of course, that's all it took. And then suddenly the shift would just drop in.
Yes.
And it's exactly the same here.
That's right. Because you shifted your attention from the conversation and conditioned mind, from that orientation, to being interested in what's happening here? How is this going on? Why am I suffering over this? What's making that happen? And in that shift of attention, that story, that orientation falls away, and you're here. And then it's just doing what you're doing. And it doesn't, which is another, anybody out there who wonders what it would be like or if you should go spend a period of time at the monastery, you really should. Okay? Yeah. Because one of the big things that we learn is, this is just what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's not like there are really important things to do and not important things to do. It's being present to whatever it is that's going on. That is the secret to a happy life, right? And so you can be just as free and happy there doing the chores that you need to do to get that stuff cleaned up for your mother's house and all of that as anywhere doing anything.
And so I'm having a thought right now, and the thought is, and remember, even if I have doubts, just have faith. It always works out.
Yes,
if I have the
exactly
right attitude, it always works. Life presents whatever, something that didn't seem like it was there before, suddenly it appears. The answer appears.
Yes, yes. And again, Rob, that's not some theory that, you know, something you read in a book. You
right.
know that.
I've had it happen more than once.
That's
yes.
right. That's right. Yep. That's what we're going for.
And conditioning had just conveniently covered it all over as if it never happened. And it was telling you that. It was telling me that.
Yes, it's good at that. And it, you know, again, we could, you know, we could see it as an evil whatever, which sometimes we do, but or we could see it as, it never gives us a chance to go to sleep and forget and drop permanently into suffering. Right? So it's always right there, kind of tapping like a little woodpecker, you know, tap, 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 tap. And we go, okay, all right, I got to wake up here because otherwise I'm going to get really miserable. So in that sense, we could say it's a great ally.
Yes. And I'm realizing, wow, I'm so happy we had this conversation because I'm realizing, well, of course, that's what, like, and I, you know, my still small voice knew that there's a way out of this, and I just need to call up, and the way would come.
Yes, and you did, and it did. Isn't
that good? Can't. It's mind blowing. It really is mind blowing.
Yeah. Yep. We're living in a miracle.
Yeah. Really. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Take good care.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rob. Another example of the miracle. Oh, Sherry, it was great.
Yes. And just as Rob laid out, you know, I know that there's always a way. What is it? Drops in, do that, here we are.
Mm-hmm. And a real focus on the process. Am I doing unhappiness?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing happiness? Where's the choice point? What am I believing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Genius.
Genius. Yeah. Yeah. It is so extraordinary that we know the answer.
Yes,
that it's just extraordinary. It's not something that we hope will happen. You know, if I hold my mouth right and stand on one foot and ask really hard, then maybe something. No. Boom, 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 boom. Go through the steps. Here you are. Take the steps.
Yeah.
You get here.
Yes. And as you've reminded us, it becomes simply a matter of remembering and
yes.
having the reminders and the practices that are going to support us to remember.
And the more we do it, the easier it is to remember, right? Because we're training ourselves to remember. In the beginning,
yeah.
it's like months can go by before anything drops in that I recognize. But the more we practice, you know, we get down to minutes, right? I'm in a snit about something or a state about something or whatever, and within a matter of minutes, it's, whoa, wait, what? This is not my life. And you're back. You're here.
Yes. Yes,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
The power of practice.
Power of practice. And
yeah.
we have time for at least one more caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara in Australia.
Well, hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Are you getting an echo at your end?
Not. You got
okay,
one?
Great. No, I don't, but I often do with this headset, so that's great.
Oh, no. You sound wonderful.
Okay. That last call was just so fantastic for me to hear. I'm ringing in, I guess, just to participate and to feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've noticed, so what occurred to me this morning really was that I've been in an enormous transition. So, you know, since I've been down here for quite a few months now, but, you know, I've gone from, you know, 4 years living on my own in the country and in a sort of an intense practice environment, really. And then now I'm in the city sharing a house. It's been
mm-hmm.
huge, and mm-hmm. it's been, there's, you know, so, yeah, what I've been thinking about is the effect that transition sort of had on my practice, and it's certainly my schedule of practice has been sort of rocked around a bit, like, and I think initially sort of things got dropped, and, you know, in the past few weeks I've sort of really been trying to get that schedule back again because I could feel myself sort of, you know, just on a bit of a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how wonderful that you can trust yourself in that way, right? Everything is new, and so you're just processing that, right? You're getting used to that. And then you reach a certain point where, okay, and now it's time to get a little more scheduled in my life because otherwise I'm going to slide into unhappiness with this.
Yeah. Well, I was. I mean, that's what I saw sort of happening. And, you know, I saw, and so especially this week, I've sort of had a flare-up with some of my physical things. And, you know, what I really got to see is that when that happens, which is sort of really the time I need to lower the standards get upped. Conditioned mind raises the standards. I've been waking up in that real... So it just brings in a whole lot of extra content that it can try and add
sure,
to the situation.
On.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I've been waking up with that the last few mornings. And And I guess that's why I've called, really, because I could just see that was happening and not wanting to go down that road, really.
And it really is wonderful, okay? Because what you're meant to do, what we, so all of us under these circumstances, what we're meant to do is go, oh no, I've slipped away from practice, and now I'm in this place, and I'm suffering, and it's bad, and oh no, and all is lost. I'm trying to be, get some drama going here, right? But instead, because you've been practicing the way you've been practicing, that stuff starts up, and you go, oh, right, I need to deepen my practice.
Yeah.
Which is not at all what conditioned mind was hoping for under the circumstances.
Yeah, it's true. It's good to hear that, actually, because conditioned mind, of course, wants me to constantly believe that I'm never doing enough and my practice is pathetic, and that's sort of a bit of a relentless refrain that it actually took me quite a while to identify clearly. But it's true. Like, and there's a lot of support for it. I've been practicing all morning. It's sort of nearly 1 o'clock here now, and there've been practice things to do all morning, and it's like I could just keep doing that for the whole day. And there's a voice sort of telling me I'm a loser, which is interesting.
We know what that voice is, right?
Well, we do.
Ego desperately wants you to believe and get involved with that you're a loser.
Yeah.
Desperate. But you're not doing it.
The more practice I do, the more of it's like, really? Is this, this is what you're going to do with your whole day? Like, can't you do something more constructive?
The answer would be, actually, no, there isn't anything more constructive. Thanks for asking, though.
Yeah.
So I was in a... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm noticing that in the city, it can be a bit easier to fall for that one, because I'm surrounded by people that seem to be out there doing constructive things, in inverted commas, if you know what I mean, being very busy. Whereas in my quiet previous life, I wasn't surrounded by that. It wasn't quite, that wasn't such a, it used a different, had a different story, basically.
That's right. this is the city story. This is the city, you're a loser story. The country, you're a loser story, has to have different content, right?
Yeah.
So I was going to tell you that I was in the a Pilates class this morning. And, when people get into things like that, it can get a little competitive. And, I don't know who people are competing with, since we're definitely all there on our own. But the instructor said, doing two or three exercises properly is way better than doing 20 sloppily. Right? So the old some's good, more's better mentality that's very much ego's. And so to just remind yourself that what you're doing is deepening your practice. You're recommitting to your practice. And it doesn't mean that you have to meet some sort of standard of how much, because what you're practicing is how present.
Yeah.
And that is truly, if we're going to use that language, that is truly constructive.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I pressed *6 because it just brought a different level of attention to listening to the show. And it was every call was just exactly what I needed to hear, and I can't wait to listen to the recording. So much gratitude from me over here. And
good. Well, it's great to hear from you.
Yeah, just to say that I listen to the Project Joy recordings every morning when I have my breakfast. I think it actually happens live at about 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning.
A little early, even for a meditator. That's a little early.
A bit much, but it's so great to have it first thing, and I get the assignment first thing. I can just reach over, look in my phone, there's the assignment, and I listen to the recording. So it's a great way to start the day.
Absolutely, and that's what you're doing, right? So whatever those voices want to say, what you focus on is quality, not quantity. Right? And if you want to spend your whole day doing practices, that's your prerogative. And if on some days you don't feel like that, or that's not what the day is about, it doesn't matter, because what you're doing is bringing conscious, compassionate awareness to all the moments of your life. Hmm. True?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, good to hear from you.
Yeah, great to get through. Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And what an amazing show, Sherry. It was great.
Yeah, some good conversations, huh? People are out there doing amazing, excellent practice, and so are we.
Yes, yes, and I loved with Rob and Barbara, you know, when there's a challenge there or the practice is slipping, and their response is to call in and get some guidance and some support and get back on the horse. It's great.
Yes, because this is all there is, right? This is it. Any conversations about anything having to do with the past or the future, no, we just don't go there. We just don't.
Yes. Yeah. Fabulous.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Take good care.
Right.
Talk to you. Oh, Michael, no, I'm going to practice my new thing. Okay. I'm reading this wonderful book that I think I mentioned, but I'm not certain. It's called The Geography of Bliss. And we're in Iceland now. And in Iceland, when people say goodbye, the words that they use are go happy.
Oh, wow.
That's how they say goodbye in Iceland. And so I'm going to become an Icelander. I want to develop the habit of wishing people bon voyage with go happy. Isn't that marvelous?
Go happy.
Go happy.
Great.
So go happy, great. Michael.
Yes, you go happy too, Sherry, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.